I want to read just one verse from the book of Exodus, because as you probably found out, as I've been sharing a couple of times, how the Lord deals with me is that there's some things that sometimes I see some things that begin to trouble me in my spirit. Like, okay, what's the answer for this? And one pastor instructed us over 10 years ago that whatever challenges you face, it's always an opportunity to teach on the subject, because the Word of God is the answer in every area. So if you're facing some difficulty, the answer comes from the Word of God. Amen. Before we read it, just lift your Bible up in the air. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have to feel ashamed, but you should get one. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy hates this when we have our Bibles and we actually believe God's Word. Just wave it in the air and just make the enemy really mad this morning. Some of you had some papers flying out of it because it's hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. But in Exodus 16 and 3, Bible says, "And said to them, would that we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You can probably draw some conclusions what I want to share with you just for a brief moment. And it's got to do with whining and complaining. Because there are things in your life that can hinder you from receiving what heaven has for you. Sometimes all you need is just to get rid of some things, and then things begin to work. When you get rid of some things in your life, your faith begins to operate and work. Notice what had happened. Because of fear, because of uncertainty, because of concern, because of discomfort, because of feelings of disappointment and unhappiness, right after Israel got out of Egypt. Now notice that God had promised to Abraham 400 years earlier that he would deliver Israel out of Egypt. And he had performed the greatest signs and wonders that the world had ever seen. But right after Israel is out, the people begin to complain and people begin to whine and they begin to murmur. I want to ask you this morning, are you grateful today? How many of you have got some things to be grateful about? How many of you can refresh? Just think about some things that you can be really, really grateful about. Things that you can be thankful about. Things that you can say, well, now that I think about it, there's a lot to be grateful about. Another place in the book of Numbers, chapter 14. This is in a place after the spies have gone in to look at the promised land. And then they come up with the report. 2 have a good report. 10 have a bad report. And as a consequence of the bad report being in majority, Numbers 14 says, "And all the congregation cried out with a loud voice, and they wept all night. All the Israelites grumbled and deplored their situation, accusing Moses and Aaron, to whom the whole congregation said, 'Would that we had died in Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness.'" So first the Israelites complained about the food. Then they complained about the water. And in here, they're complaining about their own unbelief. Because it was their doubt and unbelief that kept them from going into the promised land. Now, let's go on the side of the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, listen what the Bible says here in relation to what we just read from the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. "Now these things are examples, warnings and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal things as they did." 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. And then in verse 10 it says, "Nor discontently complain as some of them did and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer or death. Nor discontently complain as some of them did." So complaining was one of the reasons that kept Israel out of the promised land for 40 years. I want to encourage you this morning to make a decision to leave complaining behind you. I want to encourage you today to leave the attitude and then the expression of whining behind you. Bible says in Philippians 4 and 6, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition or definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So God has provided us with the way how to receive from Him. In first chapter of the book of James, you don't have to turn there, but God reveals Himself in His Word as a liberal giver. Hebrews 11:6 says that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. And next verse says, everyone who asks receives. So it doesn't look like God has a problem answering prayers. He's actually commanded us to ask so that we would receive. That's good news, right? So sometimes what you got to do is just get rid of something that is not pleasing to God. Just get rid of something that is not pleasing to God. One of them is worry. And don't worry, I'm not going to talk about it today. It's a terrible joke. But worry is one of those things when you load yourself up with things that you're not meant to load yourself up with. Jesus said in Matthew 6, just pay attention to the things of the day. Don't think about the next 10 years ahead. Just deal with the things before you and stay joyful. And the other thing is complaining. I can't overemphasize this, that if you would just receive this instruction and just receive it in your heart with joy and say, okay, I am going to see a change in this area. If this has been something that you've been dealing with, I'm telling you, it's going to make a huge difference, because your complaining will anchor you into a place where you are. And you may not even realize it, but it's what's holding you back, when your praise is going to take you where God wants to take you. Hallelujah. I say it's going to take you. Your praise, your gratitude, your joyfulness, your thanksgiving is going to take you where God wants to take you. Amen? So we are instructed to bring our requests in faith with thanksgiving to God. God says, you got an open line to heaven. All you have to do is just ask with thanksgiving. Come to me in faith and I will answer you. But then your flesh is like, why don't you complain? You can make a choice today. I'm going to leave complaining behind me. I've done enough complaining for one lifetime. From now on, I'm going to start giving thanks. I'm going to start praising. Say hallelujah. So in a way, your complaining can keep you stuck. Amen? So we've just spent time in praising. We just spent time in giving testimony of all the things that God has done. We even had the children sing. We've been praying. We've been everything, all the awesome things that the Lord is doing. Allow that to change the tune on the inside of you. You don't have to turn to this verse. But in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47, Bible says, this is part of the curse. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all which He has blessed you. And as a result, there was a curse. So part of our life in fellowship with Him is making sure that our attitude is right. And then that attitude is expressed with words. Do you realize it takes the same amount of energy, actually less energy, to give grateful thanks than it is? Because it actually takes more energy to be complaining. How many of you know that if you really get into complaining, that can drain you and everybody around you? Don't point at anybody. It's a joke. Don't do it. Okay. So you have a choice to be faith-filled, grateful, joyful, and have the fear of God in your life, or to be fearful, doubtful, unbelieving, esteeming the blessing of God lightly, to be miserable, ungrateful, and complaining. Bible says in Philippians 2 and 14, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourself. Do all things without grumbling, fault finding and complaining and questioning and doubting. Hallelujah. You know that God, when God says something, you can do it. When He gives you instructions to do something, you can do it. Your mind can say, I could never do that. But your heart is saying, let's receive this word with joy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is one of the keys we have here in Finland that is going to unlock and allow the blessing of God to flow freely. Decide. You may think about, and in your mind, you may be saying, Pastor, I have so many reasons to complain that I just have to let it out. Refuse the temptation to complain. Bring your request with thanksgiving and faith to God and watch Him answer. Instead of complaining in that place where everything is around you, you feel the pressures, begin to praise Him. Say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You're a mighty God. Lord, you said in your word, if I ask, I will receive. Say hallelujah. So do all things without complaining. Now in John 11, 16, there's an interesting verse. We see Thomas. How many of you heard about Thomas? Now we find out after the day of Pentecost from church history that Thomas went and actually shook nations. So there's a time before the Acts chapter 2, and then there's a time after Acts chapter 2. But Thomas is the one who, before he saw Jesus, he says, I'm not going to believe unless I get to touch Him. But in John 11, 16, Thomas said, when they were going to see Lazarus after he had died, he said, let us go too, that we may die and be killed along with him. How many of you know that's a nice attitude to have? You hear, let's go to this city. Yeah, let's all go there and starve and die and whatever. Let's all die together. But that's many times the attitude that is expressed with words, almost like you're making a light of it, you're making fun of it, you're bringing like a very negative attitude, because Jesus was about to do one of the greatest miracles of His ministry. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He was dead for 4 days. And He was about to do the greatest miracle. And here's Thomas with a good attitude. Let's go there and we all die. In other words, you can see the attitude in the words. See, when you get so emotionally in a negative state, it's going to wear you out. And to be honest with you, you and I, we have a great commission from heaven. We don't have time to do that. I'm telling you, when you realize how great things God trusted us with, you don't need to raise your hand, but think about it. Have you, because of complaining and whining and having such a super negative attitude about some things, even lost many days of your life that you could have been productive and actually done something about the thing that you were dealing with, but because of that, you were held back? And it kept your faith was restrained because you allowed that thing to capture you. You can make a decision today by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that you're not going to complain. That your temple, your house is going to be a house of praise and thanksgiving and glorifying God. Amen? Jude 1 and 16 says this, talking about the attitudes and motives, Jude 1 and 16. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers, who complain of their lot in life, going after their own desires, controlled by their passions. Their talk is boastful and arrogant, and they claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage. In other words, people whose motives have there's an ulterior motive. There's another reason behind it. people looking for sympathy, so they're just expressing their situation. And it's actually a trap of the enemy for the believer. Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23 that you can speak to the mountain, and if you don't doubt in your heart the things that you say, you're going to see. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make a change today. Make a quality decision to leave complaining to the past. Your words have significant power. Whatever you're facing, that complaining can anchor you to where you are today when your praise can take you to where God wants to take you. Decide, whatever I'm seeing, whatever I'm feeling, and this is one of the big deals, is because we go by how we feel and not by what we believe. Come on, help me praise the Lord a little bit. Stir some things up. Some of you are looking at me like, why did you have to bring this up today? It can change. This is a message of hope. This is not a message of discouragement on this Mother's Day. And I'm not targeting mothers with this message, okay? I am saying this, whoever needs to, you receive it in your heart and you decide to make a change. See, it's one thing for us to come together, and we have good manners, so we know how to smile in church, but it's when you leave and you're in your car, you're on the way home. When you're in home, you get those messages. You're faced with the challenges of the week. You can make a decision. Yes, God has graced me. He has given me the power. I'm going to see victory this week. I refuse to complain. Whatever it is that I'm facing, I'm going to bring it before God in prayer with thanksgiving. I'm going to do it in faith. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a breakthrough. And I refuse. Not one complaining word will come out of my mouth. I'm going to keep my intentions, my motives pure. I don't want to be a person who is described here in Jude 1:16. I don't want to be boastful or arrogant. I don't want to be flattering. I don't want to be using my words to try to manipulate people. I want my words to bring life. Come on, say hallelujah. I want to be full of life and I want to speak life. Say hallelujah. Who's happy about that? Now even, and we'll give you an opportunity to give in just a moment. But in Exodus 25, when it came time to be part of the work of God, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, speak to Israelites that they take me an offering from every man who gives it willingly." Say with me, willingly. "And ungrudgingly." Say ungrudgingly. "With his heart, you shall take my offering." So your giving is an expression of your love, and it's an expression of your gratitude. So Lord was looking for people who were willing, who were not feeling like they're forced to do it, who were not having an attitude about it. He was looking at their heart. And we read from 1 Corinthians 10 earlier that these things are written about the nation of Israel for our benefit, so that we would not follow the same bad decisions that they made, but we would follow the good ones. That we would follow the report of the good spies who said, "We are well able to take it." And what kept Israel from going, one of the reasons why they could not enter in, was the attitude that came out in complaining. What if what's holding you back from the life and life more abundant, what Jesus said in John 10:10, is that you are complaining? What if what's holding you back from life more abundant is nothing else but your words? Because I'm looking at people here today, you are already full of the Word of God. If you've been around for a while, maybe you got saved yesterday, popped in today, so you haven't had a chance to read the Word, you haven't had a chance to be under the teaching of the Word, but a lot of you've received years. You are like containers full of the Word of God. But what if what's holding back your faith from being activated and stepping into the promised land, it's because of some disappointments, unhappiness, things you faced, and then you began to complain. And God shows us in His Word that this is a very serious thing. It's not insignificant if you have an attitude towards everything that's happening around you and then you constantly keep on complaining. We need to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. We recognize His blessing and we choose to joyfully serve Him and we choose to do it with gratitude and with faith. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you're giving. See, this can release also your faith in the area of finances. Because if you always say hallelujah in church, but then you go home and complain about it, that can hold you back. Whatever you have been trusted with now, whatever, wherever you are, just begin to thank the Lord for it. Lord, I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my bicycle. I'm thankful for my bus card, whatever your transportation is. I'm thankful for my electric scooter. I'm thankful for whatever, for my shoes, if you walk to church today. Just be thankful for wherever you are. Think about it. If you'd be barefoot, that'd be rough. Some people say, well, I don't have a car like somebody else. You have shoes. Thank Him for the shoes. Just make a decision. I will not have a bad attitude. Don't compare yourself with others. Show your gratitude. Look, I'm so thankful, Lord. I got clothes. I got friends. I got a smile. Look at it. Even green is coming out. It was snowing a few weeks ago, and it's summer almost. I know it's a little crispy out there still, but you understand what I mean? Like, if you're looking for things to complain, I'm sure you'll find few people to support you. But I'm telling you, when you decide to go another way, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be thankful. And then out of that love, that gratitude, that expression, with a joyful heart, 2 Corinthians 9 says, God loves the cheerful, joyous giver whose heart is in His giving. So you're not like, oh, I guess I have to do something because the church has to keep the lights on and look at all these lights. No, but you're not doing it because of a need. You're not doing it because of an expense in church. You're doing it out of gratitude and love for God, and you're worshiping Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there's a promise for you. One more verse, and then we'll pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those who Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. This is for you. This is a promise for you as you are grateful, full of faith, full of the fear of the Lord. You are joyful and cheerful in your heart, and you're a giver. This is for you. Proverbs 11, 24. There are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. Say with me, that's me.
That's me.
How about half of you? Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. The liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered.